Is God in this place? This is a church. But is God here? Is he here because it's a church? Is God here in a church but not in the park outside? More importantly, do you know whether he's here? Listen quietly for a moment. Listen and see if you can hear God. Can you? Look around. See. Can you see God? See if you can taste. See if you can smell. Now, if God is not real, what are we doing here anyway? Maybe there's some interesting TV program that we can be watching at the moment. Or maybe in order not to lose your TV program, you've already got it videotaped, got the video machine on. To me, the all-important question is God. And the question of how you know him. Is there some way that you sense him? For me, I find the thing that worries me so much is that there is a lot of talk about God, especially in church, but so little contact and knowledge of him. I wouldn't want to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hands, those of you who really find yourself in touch with God, communicating with him. I don't mean occasionally. I don't mean through some incident that happened which you can interpret to mean that God did something. Somebody else might interpret it differently, isn't it? The person who doesn't believe in God will say, well, that incident doesn't necessarily prove God. Can we say like the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed? Are you able to sense his presence? In most cases, the answer would be no, to be honest. There are times when God makes his presence so powerfully felt that nobody can escape the reality of his presence. In my whole life experience, I've experienced that only once, in a group, that is, when some 60 people were gathered together. And when you've been through one such experience, you never forget it again. When God's presence surprised us all by suddenly coming into our midst, and every person sensed that presence. You can sense it. You could sense that he was there. It is as though you could stretch out your hand and touch him. This capacity of people to sense God's presence is something very remarkable. But sometimes God's presence is not sensed. In fact, most of the time not, especially in a large number of people. Every one of us, of the 60 people present, was simply so gripped by his presence. I don't know how else to describe it. People's tears were running down their faces. There was no psychological build-up to this coming of the Lord into our midst, which was in England, in the south of England, at a Chinese church, conference, a meeting. No build-up. Not even something as nice as today. The worship, the singing, all this. There was no build-up whatever. We just came into the meeting and the presence of God came. And tears began to run from people's faces. People began to confess their sins. And all sense of time disappeared. There's no more sense of time. It's a remarkable thing. You're suddenly transported from time into eternity. And suddenly, This meeting went on, and I don't even remember what was happening in the meeting, apart from tears running down people's faces. The one next to me, the other one, everyone's crying. All of them, somehow the presence of God gripped their hearts. Everyone sensed his presence. But why is this kind of appearance, as in at Pentecost, I could immediately see what happened at Pentecost. That's the kind of thing that happened at Pentecost. The Spirit of God came down and the whole congregation was transformed. Nobody was even chairing the meeting because the person who tried to chair the meeting just gave up. He knew the Holy Spirit had taken over and that was it. The Spirit of God was working in one heart after the other. But why is this not the regular thing? Why does it happen so occasionally? Why is it that so many Christians rarely, rarely experience the presence of God? Is God not around? Is he not in this room? If he is here, and he certainly is here, then why don't you sense his presence? That is the question of the greatest importance. Everything else in this world passes away, and all that will remain in the end is God. When heaven and earth has passed away, not to mention our little lives, our little careers, our studies, our jobs, our future, our families, everything will have passed into history before too long. In the end, God, only he remains. He that does not have God has nothing worth having. Have you got God? Do you sense his presence? Are you able to sense that presence? Is it very mysterious? Is it some kind of mystical experience? How do you know that God is real if you don't experience him? Because somebody else said so? Because the Bible says so? How do you know the Bible is true? The Bible says, indeed, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. All right? If he is in the midst, how do you know? How do you know the Bible is true if you don't experience it? Is the problem on God's side or is the problem on our side? On whose side is the problem when it comes to not experiencing or knowing? Because the word knowing is the biblical word for experiencing. The Greek word know does not mean intellectual knowledge. It means experiential knowledge. I know God because I've met with him. That's called knowing, which we call experiencing. Certainly the problem is not on God's side, so the problem has to be on our side, isn't it? So today what I need to try and get at is, what is the blockage? What is the problem? Okay, we can use words like sin, which are very general, very vague. You have sin in your life. That's a blockage. That's absolutely right. But you know, there is sin, which we don't even know to be sin. And until you deal with that, and I'll put aside theological words and cliches used in the churches, I want to get at the heart of the matter. Let me start from an unlikely position to try and illustrate what I'm saying. Before I came over to Australia, I heard part of the news. I'm sometimes too busy to hear the whole of the news. I caught some report of a news item. This was not some international piece of news. I had missed part of that, and I was listening to some local news. I think that was back in Canada two or three months ago. And the news had to do with, in that particular item, I heard the reporter talk about and showed on the TV this young girl, young meaning about 18 years old or so. And the report was about her saving three people in a stormy, rough sea condition, where these three men, by the way, had apparently ventured out surfing. Very popular in Australia, I guess, and some parts of the United States. They went out surfing, and the result of it was that something happened in the change of weather that they were caught and were unable to get back to shore. And, of course, the coastline of the United States, as Australia, is very long, and you don't have lifeguards everywhere. And the best surfing places are not necessarily places where there are lifeguards. You go out to the more dangerous, more challenging waters. And you expect that these men are indeed able to swim. After all, you don't go surfing if you don't know how to swim. But the weather conditions was too much of a challenge, and they were unable to get back. And this 18-year-old girl, I believe, who was a good swimmer, but happened just to be, you know, going, passing by, watching the scenery, saw these people struggling in the water and realized that they were not going to make it. So what did she do? She dived into the water without thinking about herself. She was not even there for swimming, so she wasn't even dressed for swimming, just whatever clothes she had, she dived into, never thought about herself, didn't stop to reason, well, these guys, you know, they brought this on themselves. This water is too dangerous. They wanted the challenge, and now they couldn't meet the challenge, and they're going down. Anyway, these are all men, I'm a girl, I should, you know, and all kinds of reasons could be given. But no, she risked her own life, dived into those treacherous waters, pulled the first guy out. Looking around, the second one was pretty soon going under. She went out again, pulled that one back in, and all three of them, she rescued all three. Well, now you know why it was on television. I mean, this was really remarkable. She was a good swimmer, but that was not the main point. The main point is that she risked her life for three men whom she didn't even know, were not related to her, and she was just passing by. Well, what was the point of the story for me? I will look at the situation like this. I echo with her and admire her in many ways because I wish we had this kind of people in the church. By the way, she may have been a Christian, I don't know. But of course, news media don't tell you whether the person is Christian or not. Very likely she was, but it doesn't matter in this case. The point is, she put her life on the line for three unknown people. And when the interviewer was saying, wow, what a, you know, how great and all this was, she said, almost in the words of Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that was my reasonable duty, my reasonable service. That's the kind of thing that anybody who could do it should do. I thought she knows the Bible better than most Christians. Well, maybe she is a Christian, but she saw it as nothing heroic, nothing exceptional. That's what she should do. Why did this story touch me? Because it puts me to shame in regard to Christians. Why do I say that? In my heart, there burns a concern, a fire, for those who perish, who are going down, who are fighting against the spiritual waves and are losing the battle. They are being swallowed up by death day by day. And I'm thinking in particular, of course, of China. 1.3 billion. That is Shishan Yi. 1.3 billion people who are not unrelated to us. They are our fellow countrymen. And what do I see? I see that they are dying at the rate of 20 million a year. People are dying all the time. You might know. Just look in the book of statistics. You can find it on the internet if you want that material. Last year alone, about 20 million people died from all causes, from old age, car accidents, medical errors, you name it, whatever. I say medical error because I saw in the newspaper in Singapore that one third of deaths in the United Kingdom in that particular year, I think it was 2 years ago, was caused by medical errors. Given the wrong prescription and so forth, not proper treatments and so on. Now the point is, I don't know if that figure is exaggerated or not, but from multiple causes. Smoking is one of the main causes of death in China, causing cancer and all kinds of other related illnesses. And last year alone, 1 million Chinese people died to smoking-related diseases. That means last year, more people died in China than the entire population of Australia. These people will never hear the gospel again. And this coming year, there will be another 20-some million who will die. And the next year, another 20-some million will die. They are perishing in those waters of the world. Does anybody here care about this? Anybody care? No skin off your nose. Not your business, right? Whose business then is it? It wasn't that girl's business. She wasn't the lifeguard. And she could not have been sure that she could have rescued these men. After all, these men were probably bigger than her. And she had to drag them through powerful currents to get them back to shore. She risked everything for three unknown guys. So I say I admire her. I wish we had people in the church like this. People in the church, what do they live for? Do they care about what? China is far away. Who cares about this? And 20 million more die, 20 million is gone. Well, so what? And what about 1.3 billion unsafe people? Whose job is it to save them? Answer this question honestly. I've also mentioned in a previous meeting, I think last previous Saturday, the time is...